Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
These guys are going to come back. They're going to bring the band back together. He committed to them last year.
All right, well, there's the old saying about the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and getting this, whatever it is.
Thanks, George Bush.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, Carl Ravage will join us from ESPN in about 30 minutes. Robinson Cano suspended for 80 games. Claims he didn't know what he took was a banned substance. That's always the go-to move.
Can't one athlete say,
"You got me.
You got me. I did it."
Yeah. What do you want me to say? You're right.
I would
You're right.
Respect
I was
that.
Nervous that time. When I gave you my urine that one time, I knew something was going to happen. I knew it. And this time you got me.
I would respect it, but I...
Never happens.
For some reason, I believe him. I believed his...
What? Based on what?
I don't know him personally. I don't know anything. But it why would 15 years later, like this, like he said, for 15 years, I've been clean. All of a sudden, now a doctor gives me something like...
So you believe for 15 years he's been clean? Because remember, A-Rod was telling everybody, no, I'm not taking anything. Like, I don't know if Robinson Cano's been doing it for 15 years, but maybe he has been.
Maybe the last couple of years he felt like he wanted to keep up to the
stats.
You have
to wonder from the team side, or just, you'd want to sue him, say, well, we gave you that contract based on your stats, but those stats aren't even real because you're all roided up.
But here's the thing, I could argue the opposite side of it.
We talked about it the last hour, though, where it's like, you can take the roids, but you still got to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, you still have to be talented. Right. But I think there's a part of me that if I was an owner, I would appreciate the dedication to supplying me with production, because the money's going to be there anyway.
Right.
They gave him one of those crazy 10-year deals, like $200 million deals. He could have just mailed in the rest of his career, hit 200, 15 bombs a year, bunch of stints on the DL.
Said he dug in on the sauce.
But allegedly, or potentially, he said, you know what? I have a legacy I want to uphold.
Right.
I have a reputation that I want to uphold. And if I got to take roids to do that, I'm going to get you your money's worth. So there's a part of me, from an owner's perspective, where I'd almost be like, thanks, dude. Like, I hate that you got caught, but thank you for being willing to do this to make it worth my while the amount of money that I'm paying you. It's a very cynical, warped way of looking at it, but I think it's also a realistic way of looking at it.
Well, when I read that statement today, something triggered in me. I said, you know what?
You think it's the real deal?
I think there could be an outlier. This guy could be an outlier.
Justin Verlander sent out a tweet saying, the excuse is coming in 3, 2, 1, go ahead.
But he's a hypocrite, because when he was in Detroit, he was teammates with Johnny Peralta, who got clipped. Yeah. And he came out and he's like, hey, he's my brother. He's my ride or die. And, one of those routines where when it's his guy, he's not going to carve him. But
One of the goofiest things I think I've ever watched. Well, who was it saying in front of Congress? I misremembered, or I...
That was Roger Clemens. I misremembered taking that.
Was he Oliver North?
That was Roger Clemens, one of the more famous congressional hearings.
Man, were there some lying going on there? Palmeiro was in there.
Yeah, Palmeiro he had the point. Was it Palmeiro that had the point, or McGuire that did the point?
Yeah,
I think it was Palmeiro that did the point.
I have never taken steroids.
Yeah, I think McGuire maybe pled the fifth.
Lies. It's just Ted Cruz.
Yeah, it was a lot of Ted Cruzing. Ted Cruzing.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
Did you see? We saw Trump earlier today. He was up. I was worried about his hair, man. It was windy.
Yeah, it was a little windy.
He was up on Capitol Hill. It was starting to teeter out of control. But
yeah, he was...
He kept it together.
He was himself. It was funny.
So we're going to get to some prop bets here in a second. We started the show talking about what happened in Winnipeg last night. Vegas, I mean, that we all said it yesterday, they're going to respond.
Yeah,
we weren't guaranteeing they were going to win last night, but they weren't going to keel over and let Winnipeg sweep.
No.
And that second Marchessault goal that made it 3-1.
That was his
Man of Steel. That was huge. Because, like, Winnipeg was starting to chip away and the building was rocking.
Yeah.
And
the Man of Steel was so funny.
I didn't see it.
now it's to a point where he starts acting up on it. Like at, early on, it was like, buy that man a chainsaw. Or no, is it buy that man? Or yeah.
Give Go him to a the mailbox, you're getting a chainsaw.
Yeah, you got a chainsaw coming from the Man of Steel. Last night it was like, clear out the garage. You've got a weed whacker.
Really?
A snowmobile? Or I can't remember.
A yard boss, a weed whacker, and a chainsaw.
Nice.
It was actually, it was a great play.
Product placement. The Man of Steel.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, anyway, so that's a big win. That I think that Marchessault goal saved the series, saved the season. I think if they go down 2-0, that's it.
Yeah.
They had to get a split in Winnipeg. They did, and it's back to being a coin flip, and they've got home ice, and they don't lose very often at home, and I think Fleury made a big bounce back.
Yeah, I think they'll split there.
You think so?
I think this is a 6 or 7 gamer.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg will have adjustments. Paul Maurice, you know, even his comments last night, he said, we thought we got through a good team in Nashville that was one of the best forechecking teams in the National Hockey League. Vegas has that as well. Vegas limited time and space all over the ice.
They were good.
And they were able to capitalize. I didn't think Hellebuyck was great last night. He had a couple, he allows a second goal, and then Vegas hits a post, a crossbar, and misses the net on a grade A chance within like a minute and a half. And they just couldn't convert. And conversely, I think Scheifele had a one-timer on the power play that he misses on the blocker side. There were a couple chances that you could just tell they were a little bit off, a little bit behind the puck. And that was Vegas creating their own luck.
Why aren't you going to the game on Friday? Do your buddies not want to go?
Probably $500 a ticket.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's expensive. Like, it's the same thing we were talking about in Winnipeg, where it wasn't sold out last night. And it's a shame that this has become a part of the conversation, but I think it's more about the owners and the league allowing ticket prices to get out of control. And our buddy Joe from the Bridge sent us a tweet earlier this hour saying that tickets for Game 5 in Winnipeg, the cheapest ticket on Ticketmaster right now, the last row is $320.
Like up top?
Like you're up against the wall or
US.
The roof.
I'm sorry. I'm
US
not...
or Canadian?
No, it'd be Canadian, I'm assuming, if it's in Winnipeg.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of money. Like, Winnipeg's a blue-collar town. It's not a big city.
Yeah.
There are people with money, and there's people with disposable money, but there's 20, 30,000 people outside the rink. They would love to be in it, but they're not going to pay that kind of money.
Yeah.
So, I don't think this is a slight on the fans. Like, last year, and a guy brought this up, like, why weren't we using the same dialogue pertaining to Ottawa a season ago,
right?
Because there weren't 30,000 people parading in the streets during the game in Ottawa. Ottawa feels very different than Winnipeg.
I find it hard to believe, though, out of those 30,000 people, two people, or not two, because if there was a couple hundred of them didn't want to buck that up.
Right. Like, you get there, you get a couple of beers in you, and you're like, forget it, man.
We're going.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Or even heading into it, you're like, if that's a first date, that's a pretty good first date.
Oh yeah,
like I would, and it's, you're right. It's expensive, so people don't have that financial means. But out of that crowd outside, you would think that there was.
Well, that's the best.
People.
You know, someone in that crowd spent $400 at the bar,
right?
And they could have just spent it on the ticket and gone into the arena.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked a lot about the legislation down in the States yesterday. The U.S. Supreme Court. Ruling that making sports gambling illegal is unconstitutional. So it feels like sports gambling is going to be legalized. It's going to be infiltrating the sports world relatively soon. And we thought of, you know, doing some prop bets. We were talking a lot about live in-game betting and prop bets and all that kind of stuff. I came up with a few different prop bets. I've decided to use the Maple Leafs as the other option.
Okay.
So the first option is going to feature something in our lives, something that comes up on this show a lot. And the second option will be an outrageous Leaf prop. Okay, so the way this is going to work is you have to bet on one of them. So both options are either going to be like ridiculously obvious or borderline impossible, but we're going to have to decide which one we would actually put our money on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
You guys want to play?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. I don't think we got an intro or anything, do we? No, let's just get rocking here. First one. The O-Dog gets married again at any point in his life, or the Leafs win the Cup next season.
I'm betting on the O-Dog getting married.
No, the Leafs win the Cup next season. I have to pick one, right?
You got to pick one.
The Leafs win the Cup next season because I'm never getting married again.
I believe you will get married again, and I will bet on that.
Why
and
do actually, you guys would, think I'm going to get
and
married?
And I wouldn't. I wouldn't bet on the Leafs winning the Cup next year.
That's so. The thing. Like I don't. I. You never know what's going to happen this offseason. Yeah, the Leafs are a really good team. They were a top 10 team in the league.
Right.
Like, could they win a cup? Vegas may win a cup this year. If Vegas can do it, why can't the Leafs do it next year? I think you're a lock to get remarried, though. Yeah. Like, I do. I feel
Dude,
really good about that.
Do you understand that I have three children?
Yeah.
Why would I get married? For someone to ruin my life?
Larry King has been married 8 times.
Why would I do it again? For what motivation? Do you think I want another kid? I don't want another kid.
I'm not saying
about
kids.
Having
you
other
don't have
kids. It's about finding the right person that makes you happy.
What
I
if
think
you
that could happen?
Stumble across the woman of your dreams.
Well, I thought I did do that, but...
Well, there you go. Maybe that wasn't the one. So
anyway, next bet.
You're still a young guy.
How much do we have to bet? Or you just choose?
Well, it's
to
just
bet?
Like let's pretend like it's a lot of money.
$100. I'll bet $10,000 I'll never get married again.
I'll bet.
But
you're,
so you put $10,000 on the Leafs winning the Cup next year over that.
Well, I have to.
You got to pick one or the other.
Yeah, 10 G's.
Okay.
I'm writing down my totals.
All right, $10,000.
I'll bet $1,000 that he gets married.
But I'm not taking that bet.
It's going to take time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not saying it's going to happen over the. Although it could happen over the weekend. I could come home from Vegas and you've been down at City Hall. You met, you know, Aloha flew into town for the weekend or something. Noodles allows his house to get a pet. So in other words, staff of the kids bring a dog or something into the house.
Gracie's sister.
Yes, or someone other than Austin Matthews gets named captain.
Noodles gets a pet.
No.
I think it's Noodles gets a pet, too.
Are you guys crazy?
Wait until Dylan is 10 and demands a dog. You will go soft as butter and it will happen.
She asked me for a cat the other day. I said no.
She's still too young.
You got a brother.
You can talk her out of it. Wait until she doesn't understand that.
You got to get her a cat.
Never. Never.
I'm saying Noodles.
It's 0%.
I think it's 0% that the Leafs name someone other than Matthews
I'm
the captain.
Exactly. The Matthews one is a lock.
So then that means you're saying that there's a chance...
Noodles is betting on the cat.
No. You said somebody other than...
Other than Matthews.
Nobody. There's not a chance.
Okay, so then you have to take that you're going to get a pet at some point.
I know for a fact I will never get a pet.
I don't
Animals
know
Animals don't
that.
Like me, and I don't like them.
I'm telling
there's
you,
there's not a chance.
I know Steph. Steph would happily accept the pet.
Like, you know what Steph could have? A pet when she's divorced. Like when she's living in another house.
I don't see it.
You know, one of the kids.
I'm
split it right down the middle.
Kids.
I'm taking Noodles There's gets a pet.
0%.
And Noodles gets a pet.
I'll bet on
a
the
big,
Austin Matthews
Dane.
One just because I know.
No.
I know. Like, you bet what, $10,000 that you won't get married? I would put $10,000.
And I thought I was going to get married.
And I thought you would get married.
That.
So there's $10,000. I would bet on that. I'll bet $10,000 that there's not a chance I'll get a cat or a dog or any of that.
This is really generating a lot of passion. Huh?
I got $5,000 that Noodles will get a
now,
pet.
I guarantee you're going to get a pet.
Define a pet, though, like these gerbils or
yeah,
like
anything
weird,
like that.
Like
anything you have to
or,
feed and take care of.
We're not doing the gerbil thing.
Well, don't kids want, like they have...
Absolutely. A bunny or something like that. I could see a bunny in your near future.
A bunny.
I could definitely see a bunny.
No, they wouldn't last.
All right. Hayes balloons to Peter Griffin mode. By the end of 2019,
ooh.
Or John Tavares signs with the Leafs.
I got to go with the Griffin because I don't think Tavares is coming.
You could be
I don't
a
think
tub of garbage
Tavares is coming
2019.
Here. And you
by
got
the
a full
end of,
year.
That's a year and a half. Almost
got,
2 years.
You got 18 months and you got some trips. Like this Vegas, you could
come back 10 over on Tuesday.
Yeah. I could.
If you have a good weekend of eating and drinking
and
doing
just
nothing.
Parade that
just
into
parlay
something.
That into
parlay
something.
It.
I'm going on the Griffin
side.
Yeah,
I'm going Griffin.
Because I don't think Tavares is coming here.
I bet $7,000 on Griffin.
See, I'll say Tavares. I have to. You guys are all committed. Like, this is the best part.
Oh,
whoever's
okay.
the one
well,
involved in this.
Get insulted.
Exactly. I have to believe in myself that I won't let it happen again. I fought back. It took me years to get back.
You have to bet on yourself.
I can't let it happen again, but I know there's a part of me. There's Griffin's
you're
in there.
Not betting that much.
Like, no.
Think
Griffin's,
about it, though. Like, you know, Green Bay is really good next year.
I know.
Let's say that, you know, Rodgers comes back. And
yep.
So you're on the couch on Sundays, wheels.
Dude, like it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not, but I mean...
But I think Tavares, I've always believed there's more of a shot than you guys think. Like, yeah. I believe that there's a shot he ends up here. I don't
think so.
I know you guys don't think so, but I think there's a chance.
Gotta manage the cap.
I'm putting on, well, I know, but they've, you know, like, there's a lot of guys coming off. They do have cap room.
Yeah.
And
you're right. I he would sign to be the number two centerman.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't see it.
He seems like a kind of even-keeled guy, though, doesn't he? Like, does he scream, like, I need to be on the marquee to you?
No.
No, like he doesn't
he reminds
that
me
to
a
me.
Lot of a, like a Patrick Marleau type of personality.
Right.
But I don't know. I just...
All right. Well, we'll see.
I think Griff.
Thank you. The O-Dog keeps Gracie forever. Forever.
No.
Or the Leafs finish dead last next season.
Oh, well, that's...
That's what I'm saying. These are two extremes. Like
the Leafs aren't going to finish last, but he's not keeping that dog forever.
I know that.
He may not last. I know the
that.
Year,
if you guys say
year.
That one more time that I'm not keeping her forever, I'm going to get pissed off.
Well,
100%. I'll bet 10,000 that I keep Gracie forever.
I'm telling you, Gracie.
You're down 20 grand already. You're going to be married without a dog by the end of the month.
Gracie can be on waivers by the end of June.
By the end of June.
You're going to be 800 pounds when you come home from Vegas.
What happens is that you're going to come home and Gracie is eating through that beautiful picture you have of the hip.
Yeah, the tragically hip poster.
Tragically hip poster and everything signed by Gort.
Right.
She's eaten through that. She's gone through your alumni coat.
I don't think there's a chance the Leafs are finishing dead last, though. Yeah, like I have to play the odds.
I have to go with the...
I don't think you're keeping Gracie, though.
So what? Say it again, because...
It's either O-Dog keeps Gracie forever, or the Leafs finish dead last. Where are you putting your money?
Well,
you have to put your money on one of them.
I got to keep the dog, then, because they're not going to finish last. But...
Whew.
What scenario?
You've got to put it on me.
Let's lay it out this. What scenario could happen that the Leafs finish, like Ottawa this year? Like zero.
But they didn't even finish last.
Yeah.
Think about how bad it was for Ottawa. They finished second last.
There's not a scenario I can think of.
Me neither. They're too good. They're too talented. Babcock won't allow it. Like, there's no way.
Freddie gets injured.
I'm keeping Gracie.
Keeping Gracie.
Yeah, we're keeping Gracie.
Noodles develops an eclectic palate and starts eating exotic foods.
Ooh.
Or Freddie the Goat plays at least 41 games next season.
I'll give Freddie the Goat a sniff. You know I'm not eating any.
You're too set in your ways.
Yeah, I got to go Freddie Goat.
46 years old.
But I don't think Freddie's playing 41 games.
How many times
games.
I've heard just a piece of chicken, cheese, and a bun.
Yeah.
That's what the man wants in a sandwich.
You and my dad. My dad actually has potentially like a worse palate than you.
Really?
He will not eat anything. They can't travel because he can't go anywhere. He can't eat anything.
Yeah.
Like, he refuses to eat stuff. You're too set in your ways, man. You're not going to show up one day and start eating, like, exotic cuisine.
What would be exotic? Like, sushi and stuff like that?
Yes, exactly. Sushi is mainstream now. It's not even exotic.
Yeah, that's not.
I wouldn't consider sushi exotic, would you?
No.
When I was in Japan.
I eat it twice a week.
I tried sea urchin once, and that was awful.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
I got to go with the goat.
Yeah, I'm going with the goat for 41 games.
All right, final prop. Hayes finally relaxes and stops snapping about every small detail on the show. In other words, bad cell reception, mics being on when they shouldn't be, scripts that are written improperly, or Mike Babcock outlasts Kyle Dubas in Toronto. I think I'm... I'm starting to relax over time.
You'll relax.
I think you'll relax.
I'll bet five grand on that.
I think Kyle Dubas will outlast Mike Babcock.
It's an interesting one, though, right? Like, Dubas has never been a GM before. Mike Babcock's been in the league for 20 years, cup winner.
Yeah,
and
but
yet,
I come
just
back
based
to,
on the conventional wisdom.
I come back to, exactly, conventional wisdom of shelf life of that type of coach. Daryl Sutter, Tortorella, Ken Hitchcock. All of them. Hard-ass coaches that are demanding, and eventually there is an expiration date.
Well, think about the situation here. Like, Babcock was hired before Lou was.
Mm-hmm.
So Lou inherited Babcock, and now Dubas is about to. Like, Babcock is about to deal with, technically, his third GM.
And let's just...
Or executive team.
Let's go a little bit farther. Kyle Dubas is a progressive guy. And Mike Babcock and him continually get into it about the Matt Martins and Roman Polak and guys like that. And mm-hmm. Babcock wants those types of players, and they have friction. And then you cross that over to if it doesn't translate to success. I think Mike Babcock got put on the clock this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the whole Matthews stuff and everything.
A lot of people that were challenging a lot of his moves, where in the previous years, it was this guy could do no wrong.
Yep.
That's just going to intensify as the expectation level goes up.
Yep.
So 2 years from now, if the Leafs aren't where people want them to be, this guy's on thinner ice than. So I think Kyle Dubas has a longer window than that. That's my rationale.
I'm not even convinced. I don't think I'll ever totally relax. Like, I freak out about a lot of minor details, but I think I'm getting better, right?
No. You are a little bit better.
Except for when Dreger just called in an hour ago and his phone was brutal.
Yeah, you weren't happy.
I didn't handle that very well or very professionally, but I'll go with myself. I'll bet on myself. There you have it. Overdrive props. We got to do that more often.
Thought it was a great segment.
I thought it was good. And I actually liked the questions, too. Although Andy Petrillo sent me a picture of a cute cat.
Dude, you're getting a pet. Like, out of all these, I guarantee you get a pet.
Not a chance.
Don't you think?
Out of all of them?
Yeah.
Griffin, married, a pet? A pet.
No way.
Pet. Although Griffin, like, you've seen Griffin before. Yeah. Although you've been married before, so yeah, we've seen that.
And I had cats, or I grew up in a household that had three cats.
That shocks me. Can you picture him in a house with three cats?
Well, I didn't design it. I wasn't the one. I was just a patron living at that house. My parent. What happened?
A patron.
That's what happens, is my brother gets a girlfriend. Guess what? They get a cat together. They break up. My brother doesn't want the cat. The cat comes to our house.
Right.
I was the youngest, so we inherit a cat. Another cat rolls in, same thing. Other brother. Rolls in. All of a sudden, we got three cats.
Why didn't your parents say, sorry, that's your problem? Like, you got the cat.
Loving, you know, we're loving
I guess
people. So,
so
they were like,
okay,
we'll take the animals and whatever. So we were running a farm there. It's ridiculous.
Imagine that's what ends up happening.
Dog involved, some Dalmatian. I wasn't there, but.
Picture that. Your kids grow up, they move out, and then you inherit a pet after they've left. So you single handedly have to take care of the pet.
It wasn't good. But I mean, the cats
were tough.
They just left me alone, and I left them alone.
Yeah, you guys had an understanding, I'm sure.
We did. Yeah. I laid the law down early on.
You have to. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Carl Ravage will join us on the Jays. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., Robinson Cano, 80-game suspension. And we're teeing up Game 3, Washington-Tampa tonight. Game 2, Cleveland-Boston. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. You can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, and subscribe and check us out on iTunes. A lot of quality feedback about our prop bets, so we might have to try to continue that in the future.
Somebody wrote in, Lee wrote in and said, point out that a goldfish is still technically a pet. I mean, where's the line on that?
I think so.
Because I think... What will happen if the school sends home...
Not a pet.
Why is a fish not a pet?
What interaction do you have with a pet? Besides dropping food.
Okay.
And the goldfish gets flushed like within a week.
All right, but you still have to look after the fish, right? Like, you have to make a point of feeding the fish and checking in on the fish.
But if the
school... that fish put his little mouth outside the water to give you a kiss goodnight, then it's a pet. But the fish doesn't do it.
I disagree. I think a fish...
Or if it came on top of the water and you could pet it...
Fish are useless.
So what's the point of having a fish?
Exactly.
Exactly.
A lot of pets.
Like, a goldfish is for your five-year-old just so that they can overfeed it and kill it. That's basically, it's a life lesson.
And then you got to lie to them and pretend like
that didn't happen. It's a life lesson for them.
I say fish count. If you have a fish in your house, it counts. You've gone soft.
You think?
All right. Here's Carl Ravage from ESPN. Do you think fish count as a pet, Carl?
I think if you have to invest any type of money or feed it, then it becomes a pet.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't get anything out of it. It's just...
Well, you must. I mean, there must be something you're getting out of it because you're willing to commit some financial resources to it and feed the thing. But otherwise, if you got nothing out of it, you just let it die.
Well, I do find that does seem to happen a lot more with fish, right? Like people go away and somehow they forget about the fish and they come back.
There is
a
bit of an ambivalence around fish that don't really exist with dogs or any other pet. That's
right.
Fact.
Which is really cold. I mean, that's uncalled for.
It is. We're not trying to be cruel to them. It's just, you're right. Goldfish is...
I played with a guy in Hartford that went away and left out 7 bowls of food for his dog. Did not go over so well.
No. Did he label them Sunday through Monday?
Exactly.
What an idiot.
Apparently the dog also got into the bag of food and it turned real ugly. It wasn't good.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that's
welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No kidding. So we've been talking about Robinson Cano, and obviously, he was suspended for 80 games earlier this morning. The news broke, and he tested positive for taking a diuretic, which is used generally to mask PED use. He's claiming ignorance on this. He's not claiming that he didn't take it, but he's claiming that he took it for a different reason, not for performance-enhancing drugs. And he's claiming that he got it from a doctor, and he didn't realize it was banned. I mean, he's not the first guy to have that kind of an explanation. Do you buy it? Is there any reason to buy it?
No, I don't. I wouldn't buy it. I mean, I think what happened was he was found to have had this substance in him during spring training. He appealed it, and during the appeal, Major League Baseball and their investigators came to the conclusion that it was being used to mask performance-enhancing drugs. To me, case closed, done deal, irrelevant on the story you're telling. And unfortunately, you do tend to get lumped in with every other person that tells similar stories of knowingly and doctor prescription and never used before. I'm sorry, you know, the boy who cried wolf, at some point you realize like he's not telling the truth. In any of these cases, I find that if Robinson Cano was truly believing that he, you know, either mistakenly took it or wasn't using it to mask, he would scream from the highest mountain. And that didn't happen, and he acquiesced to this suspension. So no, I've unfortunately become very jaded to all of these stories and don't buy any of them.
So he's been a fantastic player for a long time. How do you go about making an assessment on what his career? You think he's been dirty his whole career?
Hard to say. I mean, I think the one thing we appear to have learned from past experiences with some great players who have used and others who have been accused of using is that for the most part, the assumption is that they didn't do it their entire careers, that at some point they decided to try it in quote-unquote the twilight of their career, and then all of a sudden they had a second career after that, which was even better than the first. A lot of this becomes very speculative and very opinion-driven on your own feelings and thoughts and observations. So I would think that given Cano's success over the course of his career, I tend to give the benefit of the doubt that this wasn't something he was doing his entire time. And as you get older, you know, perhaps you see younger, better players, and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. But I know a lot of people will ask, in Cano's case, you had the 10-year deal. Why would you try to do something like that now? Do you need more money after the next 5 years expire? So all of these things come with a whole host of questions along with them. Many of them start with, why would you do that? Others start with, well, wow, you know, you're already in the prime of your career. You've signed your 10-year, $240 million deal. You don't need to do this. People said the same thing about Barry Bonds. You know, you don't need to do that. And he's never been found to have actually used them, but there's many people who speculate he did. And part of the reason he did, if he did, was because he wanted to keep up with McGuire and Sosa. You know, I'm the best player, and without them, I'm not the best player. My numbers aren't the best, so I want to have the best numbers because I believe I'm the best player. And if this is what everyone else or at least those guys are doing, then I'm going to make the playing field level, and I'm going to do the same stuff. So in Cano's case, again, he's unique in that he had his money and his security and still was found to be doing this stuff. But, you know, to answer your question again, that's one of those very subjective, very individual things. I would give the benefit of the doubt that he hadn't been doing it his entire career. But if he acknowledged, you know, in an interview 10 years from now and said, I screwed them, you know, out of all that money, I was cheating my whole time, I wouldn't sit there and be shocked by it.
With Carl Ravage of ESPN, there's a Blue Jay spin on this because the Mariners are in a race for the second wild card. I guess a race out west in general. They're chasing the Angels and the Astros, and they've been off to a really good start. Do you think this takes them out of contention? How will this affect Seattle?
Well, Seattle's a lot deeper. Their pitching is a lot better. Their bullpen is a lot better than it's been in years past. And James Paxton appears to have sort of assumed the role that Verlander does with Houston, that Severino does with New York, maybe Ohtani does with the Angels, and that they actually have now an ace to go along with Felix and others in that rotation. Cano is having a good year. He's a really good player. It's not like the Dodgers losing Seager in earlier years of his career. You'd lose the best player. I think they're good. I don't think that they're Angels good anyway. And I'm not sure that I would lump the Blue Jays in that conversation. Now, the Blue Jays can make some moves here with some of their younger players and supplement the team that they have. But, today, it's Red Sox, it's Yankees, it's Indians, it's Angels, and then it becomes, the Astros is the best team in baseball. Where's room for the Blue Jays? Where's room for the Mariners? Again, that's today. Injuries can happen. You call up Vlad Guerrero Jr. and he has big impact on team. Sure, but I don't put the Blue Jays or the Mariners in the same conversation today with the Angels.
When do you call up Vladimir Guerrero?
A week and a half ago. He's actually in Hartford right now with his team. Belted a home run last night, his first at bat. I mean, he's major league ready. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think that we've had enough of a sample size the last few years with these kids that get called up, and very few of them are shrinking violets. They tend to perform and perform well, and oftentimes improve the team that they're called up on. In his case, there's a bit of a log jam at the position that he would play, but you got to be creative as far as your organization goes to figure out how to get that bat in the lineup, how to get that athleticism, how to get that glove, how to get that kid in the lineup. You're dealing with other things in Toronto with Osuna, with Stroman. It's a bit of a bump in the road right now. And yeah, I would have brought him up a week and a half ago. I've seen enough evidence from young kids, 21, 20, 22, who are more than ready to play and perform at its highest level, let alone, a regular season game in May.
Yeah, his numbers are absurd. I mean, Vladdy Guerrero Jr., he's hitting over 400 in AA with an OPS over 1,100. I mean, this guy is crushing the
minors. Kind of a bat we could use. Last check, we could use that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah. We brought this up earlier, and Noodles, you were the one that brought it up. I think it's telling that the Blue Jays, whenever asked, at least off the record, they keep saying, well, it's about service time, and we want to push his contract back, or, defensively, he's got to improve.
Aren't we way past that?
Well, I think what they're telling us here, Carl, is this team's not very good, and we don't want to bring him up. Sure. And it's a gong show right now with Osuna, with Stroman, with the Donaldson contract hanging over them. Yeah. I think there's a part of them that I think we should almost listen to what they're not saying. In terms of why he's not up, because they don't want to bring him into this environment, and they don't think even with that bat it's going to make a difference. They don't feel like the Jays are a good enough team.
That may be, but I mean, in the end, isn't our goal, especially once we've passed the date of losing a year of eligibility, isn't our goal to put the best players on the field? His growth at the AA level seems to have reached a point where there's not a lot more that he's going to develop. And why not bring him up? We used to draw 4 million people there to a game. Don't we want to put more people in the seats? So the conflict of interest that arise, given youth of some players, burdensome contracts of others, teams in your own division, those conflicts tend to override what is probably, I still think, the most important thing, which is how do we put the best team on the field? And I'm even appreciative of service time. I understand you don't want to lose that, but we're past that now. So he's eligible to be called up and not lose a year on the calendar. Okay, well he's one of our nine best. Wherever he's playing, if he's DHing, let's figure out a way to put him on the field and let his major league career begin. We saw it with Chris Bryant. He clearly was ready to play well before he got called up. We've seen it in a number of other instances. The clock is, if you had an alarm clock, the thing is ringing real loud and it's not shutting off. It's not like he's going to hit 210.
No.
He's going to flirt with this number and you're going to just steadily be reminded of it. It's like a steady drip.
Bro, it's not going away. There's no way. Thank you for this, Carl. Always appreciate you doing it.
All right, boys, anytime.
Here's Carl Ravage from ESPN, MLB on ESPN. And that's the truth about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. I mean, it's not like he's going to cool down here. He may not keep hitting 400, but he's going to continue to knock on the door. And the truth is, there's no. It's not possible to temper expectations now.
Right.
Like, regardless, if he comes up tonight, if he comes up next year, 2 years down the road.
Yeah, he's on YouTube every day.
He's still waiting.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Somebody's taken a video of this guy's every at-bat, and it doesn't go away.
No. Doesn't matter when he comes up. The expectations are going to be so bloated and so out of control that you can't scale that back now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just sticking with my original theory as they want things to settle down a little bit up here and then bring him up.
Mm-hmm.
It is still technically somewhat early in the season.
Yeah, it's mid-May.
I know.
There's 4.5 months left.
That's what I'm saying. You can bring him up in 6 weeks from now after things. I mean, hopefully Stroman comes back and settles down.
Go on a heater. Maybe the Osuna stuff clears, although that doesn't feel likely at this point.
The optics of that, I mean, it's awful, and we'll get to the bottom of it eventually, but it's not good.
No, and that is a factor that doesn't get brought up enough, is that this team has to consider what kind of an environment he's walking into.
Right.
You know, and the Osuna stuff that's not a good scene.
No.
Marcus Stroman, he's not pitching well. Who knows what he's like in the clubhouse. By all accounts, his teammates like him or love him or whatever, but he's in a weird spot, and you know how he's going to react to all that.
Yeah.
The Donaldson story, you know, watching coming in and your superstar player, your mentor at third base is a guy who could be out the door soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that may be a part of it, too. They're thinking, let's trade Donaldson, and then when we do that, then we call him up, and he plays third base.
Because
and
if it's not a popular move, you need a shiny toy to bring in to distract people.
And that would most certainly do it. I mean,
exactly.
People are more intrigued by Vladdy Guerrero Jr. than guys on the club in a lot of ways because of what he's doing.
I know it was in Montreal, but the reception he got is just, it's been a steady build.
Yeah, he's the number one he's the best prospect they've had in decades. I mean, it's number one guy in baseball. Look at what he's doing.
Yep.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Can Washington go up 3-0 in the series tonight?
Be huge.
And could the Celtics shut down LeBron again? Doesn't seem likely. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. So this is probably it for Tampa tonight, I would think. You go down 3-0.
This is their game 7, technically.
Has to treat it like a game 7. I'm surprised I haven't seen anybody quoted saying that.
I think they're just pretty quiet about... They've got to show up. Their stars have to show up. I know Stamkos scored last game, but Kucherov is kicking at players. Hedman's chasing people around. Mm-hmm. Like they haven't been good enough. And Vasilevsky hasn't made the saves that they've needed from him.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your spine of the team. Spine of your team not playing well enough.
I think they win tonight.
Yeah, it's... I mean, they have to have
a big moment too good for Stamkos and the Lightning. He even said it himself. We're going to find out who we are, and they need him to play better. Even strength, not so good for him right now.
Old Ovi could have another statement.
Yeah.
Never know. Well, Caps are playing real loose hockey.
Yeah, they are. Like that
they're just dummying teams. It's like
them getting past Pittsburgh, man.
Yeah.
Like that's it. That has been hanging over them for a decade.
I would not be shocked if the Caps won big tonight.
Really? See, I don't
like to make a
side bet. Okay, we can talk about that.
$20.
All right.
Just straight up.
Fine. Legal. So you have sports gambling.
You have Washington and you have Tampa. Just straight up.
Yeah, I'm on Tampa tonight. I'm on
straight
Tampa.
Up win. Yeah. Doesn't have to be.
No,
doesn't matter.
Odds, nothing.
No.
$20 to the winner.
Well, Washington is favored in Vegas, but I just feel like them going home, there's going to be some nervous energy a little bit. Like, people will be excited, but now you're supposed to win. You weren't supposed to necessarily win in Tampa. Certainly not both games. But I just think Tampa's they're a legitimate threat. Like, they're a legitimate cup-contending team. They've been beaten up 2 games in a row. Kind of like Vegas last night with their response. I expect the same thing out of Tampa tonight.
They have to have a response. You're right.
Yeah.
And they're not.
And I think Hedman goes beast mode tonight.
You think so?
Well, he's more than capable of doing that.
I think it's Vasilevsky who has to make, you know, he's got to stand on his head. He's
all the big
the
boys for Tampa.
Yep.
You think any media members in Vegas will be just
not be able to perform their function?
Well, shockingly, they're already down there. It's like somehow they got on the first flight out of Winnipeg.
I did.
How did that happen?
I did Edmonton media
just
today.
Who's going to get Bernie Lomaxed out there in the media?
Well, who would it be? Would it be LeBron or Saravelli?
I don't know. Pierre's a seasoned vet, man. He doesn't put himself in that kind of situation.
So I had to fill in for Frank today on Edmonton Radio. I usually do Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to switch with Frank because he was flying out today. And they're like, yeah, he's got to do it at 6:05.
Vegas time tomorrow morning.
Oh, I said, that's good gutless. Luck from that.
Like, why do that if you're Edmonton? Come on.
No,
smarten
but
up.
He asked for the switch.
No,
he
I know that.
Could have done it this morning. From Winnipeg.
Oh, so maybe he got after last night in Winnipeg.
I don't know, but either way, I said, good luck with that. I mean,
well, that's on him, then.
Dudley Moore from Arthur? That's an old movie. You wouldn't know that, but this guy could be three sheets to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. I think he's a true pro. He
he's
may not
pro.
Go out tonight.
He's a pro. Vegas, I mean, Vegas comes calling, dude. Like, that's the thing, man. I don't know.
Are we'll you going to do Hangover Heaven while you're out there?
No, I don't think so.
Why not? Could be the best couple $100 you spend to get an IV.
I don't like needles in general.
Well, what is the routine?
Oil. Well, they come to your room.
No, your routine with your buddies. If you're not going to the hockey game, what are you guys?
I don't know. We're doing that Top Golf thing for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that'll be good. I don't know. We'll go out. Like, I'm not going to get into all of the details. Big I'm sure we're going to get up to something, I would think.
Yeah,
in Vegas. I'm on Tampa tonight, in Cleveland tonight. I think LeBron has a massive bounce back game. Massive tonight.
Yeah, I'll be tracking that one too.
Throw down 20. You can score 120. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So that's what we have on the docket tonight. The Jays, nothing has been announced, but the weather is brutal in New York.
They're not playing.
I doubt they're going to play. They might not be able to play tomorrow either. Looks like pretty awful weather for about 48 hours down in New York.
What's not going to be awful tomorrow is we're going to be back at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.